this week? Rain. There we go. Praise God for the rain. How many of you took a trip somewhere this week? Been traveling a little bit. You got to where you were going and you got back. How amazing is that? God watched over you. So all kinds of things. Yes, ma'am, I see you waving. You went to the zoo. That's an amazing thing, going to see all those animals and all God's creation there. It really does amaze you when you look at those animals. Have you ever just stopped and looked at your hand and thought about all that goes into just making it move and how God created that? That's an amazing thing. God is an amazing, amazing God. So let's go to Him before we get into the Word. Father, thank You so much because You revealed Yourself to us and You show us each and every day just how amazing and how wonderful You really are. And Father, You just, every day, You show us something new. Every day, you just show us that Your love is even deeper than we thought it was, that Your grace is wider than we thought it was, that Your forgiveness is bigger than we ever dreamed it was. Father, You just have us stand in awe every day. And so we thank You. And I pray that You would just give us eyes to see just how wonderful You are, even in the small things, even in the little things that happen every day. Don't let us miss You. And today, as we continue on in our worship and we look into Your Word, don't let us miss You and what You have to say today. In Jesus' name. Well, we are in our second week of our series, our three-week series, on just some lessons from the triumphal entry. Last week, we talked about keeping our promise to the Lord. We gave Him our hearts and lives. We said you can use all we are and all we have whenever and however you choose. And so we talked about keeping that promise to the Lord. Today, we're going to be continuing in that series, and the title of the message this morning is Unstoppable. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40 today. Last week we went 28 through 38. We're picking up a couple more verses this week, but I want to read the whole thing to get the context. And the verses at the bottom are ones that I'll mention or I'll read as we go through the sermon. So you might want to jot those down so that you can refer to them later. But there are many, many kingdoms and nations and leaders that throughout history that have been very powerful, ones that seemed like there was absolutely no one who could stand up to them, no one who could put a stop to their expansion. In the Bible, we see several. There's the Assyrians in the Bible. They're the ones that took the nation of Israel away. There were the Babylonians. They're the ones that took Judah away. Of course, there were the Romans who were occupying Jerusalem during the time of Jesus. Then there were the Greeks, Alexander the Great. You think about more modern times, maybe the Soviet Union with Lenin and Stalin. We can't forget about Germany under Hitler. But all of these folks, all of these kingdoms, all of these leaders seemed to roll over those that opposed them with ease. There didn't seem like there was anybody who could stop them. But that is not the case, because they have since faded into the history books. It seemed like nobody could stop them, but there is no nation, there is no kingdom, no leader that is unstoppable save one. And the leader is Jesus, and the kingdom of God is the unstoppable kingdom. So as I said, the title of our message is Unstoppable, and we're going to be in Luke 19, 28 through 40. So let's read those verses, and then we will see what the Lord has to teach us this morning. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He told them. And they were untying the colt, and its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it, and went along. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When He came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, how many of you have ever been to a concert venue or gone to a professional sporting event? Anybody here been doing that? Maybe you've been to the airport at Christmas or, you know, something like that. Okay, when the concert lets out or when the sporting event is over, think about the hallways or the concourse at the stadium. Think about all those people and trying to get to their cars. You know, you're shoulder to shoulder, you're trying to go through, trying to weave your way through, and there's just no quick way to get through there. This is the scene of what's happening around Jerusalem. This is the scene. The roads going in and out of Jerusalem are packed like that. The streets in town are also filled with people. There are people everywhere. And so here is Jesus heading into Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. He's going to die a week later on the cross for our sins. And when he reaches the Mount of Olives, we know that he mounts the donkey and he proceeds into the city at the shouts and of the crowd and of his disciples. And they're celebrating. Their voices are echoing off the rocks and going down the ravines, just letting everybody know that Jesus is coming. And they're shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's loud and it's crisp. It just rings out for everybody to hear. Anyone along the road knows what's happening. And with each step, that celebration grows because more people join in. And when they near Jerusalem, John tells us that a crowd comes out of Jerusalem to join the crowd coming into Jerusalem. So they just add to the congestion. But they also add their voices to the praise that's being sung as it just reverberates off the walls of Jerusalem and amplifies their praise. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. All of Israel as it was in the time of King David." And they fully expect Jesus to call his followers together and to forcibly run Rome out of Jerusalem and then out of Israel. And as they shout and they wave these branches in there, they're encouraging Jesus to do just this, encouraging to fulfill his mission as they saw it, of course. But we know the mission that he had come to fulfill was different than what they had believed that he came to do. He did not come to be crowned king. He was already a king. He was king of heaven and earth. He did not come to deliver them from a political oppressor, Rome, but the spiritual oppressor of Satan. And he didn't come to declare the Lord's favor in a nationalistic or materialistic sense, but to declare the Lord's grace and forgiveness in a very personal sense. But although we know that now, sitting here, we know this because we know the rest of the story. But those on the road do not know this. His disciples don't even grasp the true nature of his mission until after his resurrection. But even so, what the people are saying, what they're proclaiming, the words that they're shouting are true. Each one is declaring him to be the Messiah, even though they think he's going to be different than what he really turned out to be. And through the crowd's praise and through him coming in on a donkey, as we saw last week, he was declaring the truth of who he is and what he's come to offer. He proclaimed it for all to hear. And so as this celebratory parade makes its way down the road, who do we find there in verse 39? It says, "Some of the Pharisees." We find the Pharisees. Now, these guys were not traveling with Jesus, you know, but they were either somewhere on the road and they heard him coming, or maybe they heard about the commotion inside the city. They came out to investigate, but whichever it is, they were right there in the middle of Jesus' business. And at first, you know, they come out, they can't make out exactly what's being said, but as the crowd and Jesus is closer, it becomes clear to them what's being said, and they are not happy. They are not happy. Each time they hear the shouts, the hair on their neck stands up and their anger rises. It leads us to say they don't join in. Can you see them? You ever seen that look? I never saw that look growing up because I was perfect. But I saw my siblings get that look a lot, you know. Yeah. That disapproving look. I can imagine standing at a distance as Jesus is approaching. They're quick to condemn what's going on. They're quick to condemn Jesus. They're quick to condemn the crowds for taking part in it and being easily duped. So as they stand there, not so quietly stewing about what's going on, what's playing out in front of them, Jesus finally draws near. Now remember, what is going on? how packed the road is. Jesus is surrounded by his disciples in the crowd, and the disciples are trying to make a path. They're trying to move forward, and you know it's not going very well. You know it's moving slowly. And people are shouting. Think about what they're doing. They're shouting. They're waving and raising their hands. They're trying to push in toward Jesus so they can lay their coats before him. They've got these branches, and they're waving them around wildly. Would you want to try to make your way through that crowd? No, you might lose an eye, you know? But the Pharisees, their concern was so urgent and their anger so strong that they pushed their way through all of that to get right up next to Jesus. And you know why we know they had to do that? Because there was no way he was going to hear them and what they said if they were out here and he was in the middle of the crowd. So they had to get up next to him. But why? Why did they think it so imperative that they speak to Jesus now? Why could they not wait? Because of what the people were saying. They are saying at the top of their lungs that Jesus is the Messiah, the King, the Deliverer. Do you think that'd be exciting news and welcome news, but not for the Pharisees, because they didn't believe Jesus to be the Messiah? They thought that he was leading people astray, that he was indeed just giving them false hope. But that's not the only reason. That's not the only reason. That's not the only reason they had to act. They had to act because they were afraid of Rome. Think about this. If the people really think Jesus is their king, their Messiah, they might actually take him and crown him king. And what do you think Rome's going to do if they declare Jesus king? They're going to respond quickly and brutally. And they're going to come in. And if they defeat Jesus and his followers, guess what? They're going to blame the religious leaders for not controlling their people. And they're going to lose their authority. They're going to lose their position. Might even lose their lives. But that wasn't their only concern. The Romans weren't their only concern. They were also concerned that Jesus just might be the king. And if he was crowned king and he was successful in taking control away from Rome, they wouldn't be in any better shape. Because as king, he has supreme authority. And all the way through, who has been opposing Jesus at every step? Very vocally and very publicly. The Pharisees. And so if he is king, what do they expect him to do? To take care of them, take care of those that oppose his throne, oppose his rule, so they at the very least lose their position and authority. And they might even lose their lives, because the kings of that day, when they took power, what did they do? Wiped out everybody who opposed them. Same thing today. When you see someone take over a country, if there's a coup, there's a bloodbath, because they destroy everyone who stands in their way, stands in opposition to them. So there was a lot at stake here. And everything that was going on, everything that's happening, is taking them in the wrong direction, and that's unacceptable. So when they reach Jesus, they confront him. They confront Jesus in verse 39. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." What are they saying? Stop this. Stop it. Take control of your disciples. Shut it down. Shut it down now. Quit pretending to be somebody you're not. Quit deceiving the people. Now, was Jesus deceiving the people? No, he wasn't. He was announcing the truth. He was telling the people who he is and why he came. And here are the Pharisees trying to stand in the way of that. You see, as they confront Jesus, they're trying to silence the truth. They're trying to stop the truth from being told. They're trying to stop it from going forth. Now, at this point, I just, in my mind, I picture things kind of weird. You may not do this, but I can see Jesus just giving that look that says, "I can't believe you just said that." We all know that look. We've all given that look, and we've all gotten that look, and we know exactly what that is. But I kind of picture Jesus doing that, and then he looks at him in that way, and he responds in verse 40. He says, "I tell you," he replied, "if I keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It's interesting. Jesus doesn't respond in the politically correct way. He doesn't try to soothe them. He doesn't try to appease them. He doesn't change his message because a few people are offended. Neither does he shut down the celebration or apologize for the truth. Instead, he lets them know that the truth will continue to be shared. The truth will continue to be heard. That because the truth is unstoppable. The truth is unstoppable. He says, even if I had the desire to shut this down, and I don't. So, but even if I had that desire, if I could get everybody's attention, and I could get everybody to quit shouting, and I could get them to go into Jerusalem silently, he said, even if I did that, the truth of who I am, the truth of why I came, the truth of the kingdom, the truth of the gospel will still be heard. If all these people are quiet, the rocks will cry out. He's saying you cannot silence the truth of God. You can't keep it from being heard. You can't keep the kingdom of God from moving forward. It is unstoppable. Now, when Jesus says, if they're quiet, the rocks will cry out, there's debate about whether he's speaking literally or whether he's speaking proverbially. And, you know, God can make rocks speak. God's God. He can do anything. How many of you know that he used a donkey to speak to Balaam? You know, I always wondered about that because Balaam was really calm and just had this conversation with the donkey like it was normal. I think I would have freaked out, you know. But he can do anything he wants to, but more than likely, this is proverbial, and this is why. Throughout scriptures, nature is described as voicing praise to God. Isaiah 55:12 says this, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." And then Psalms 19:1-4. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voices go out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world." And this is just a few places where it talks about this. So when Jesus says the rocks will quiet, this is what his way of saying, you cannot silence this group. You can try to cover up the message, but it's no use. You're not going to be able to stop it. The power of God at work in this world will not be denied. For even if you silence everyone, nature will cry out the truth of who I am and who God is. Now, I want to remind you of something, scripture that we all know, and it'll be familiar to you. You'll know exactly what it is as I quote it. It's John 14:6. It says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He says, "I am the way and the truth." And that's the part I want to focus on here for just a minute. I said the truth of God is unstoppable. If Jesus is the truth, what does that make Jesus? Unstoppable. Jesus is unstoppable. Therefore, the Pharisees, as they're trying to silence the truth, they're trying to silence Jesus. They're trying to stop Jesus and get him to stop. But Jesus says, it will not and it cannot happen because I'm unstoppable. The truth is unstoppable. I'm unstoppable. Now, did you notice who the Pharisees targeted in their rebuke? It says, rebuke your disciples, his followers. And why is that? Why did he say rebuke your disciples? Because they were the ones that were shouting. They were the ones that were sharing the truth. Therefore, the Pharisees believed if they could silence his followers, they could stop Jesus from doing whatever he was up to. And over the centuries, those who sought to silence the truth, those who tried to stop the gospel message, to stop Jesus from moving forward, they also target his followers. They target those who are sharing the truth by walking the walk and talking the talk. And they rebuke them, they harass them, they attack them. But here's the deal. The more they try to silence the truth, the louder it speaks. The more they try to keep the gospel from being shared, the more it's heard. The more they push against it and try to stop it from moving forward and spreading, the more momentum it gains. And the more they try to shroud it in darkness, the brighter it shines. See, those who try to stop the truth, they can call us names. They can ridicule us. They can pass laws to prohibit us from sharing the gospel. They can make it illegal to meet as a church. They can arrest us. They can fire us. They can take our jobs and even our lives and our homes. And unfortunately, that happens in a lot of countries in our world. There's a lot of places that believers are facing all of those things. We're thankful that most of those things don't happen here. But I know many who have been ridiculed, who've been called names, who've been harassed. I know some that have lost their jobs because of their faith. And I even know some that have been physically assaulted because of their faith. But most of this doesn't happen here. But guess what happened in those places where they are mistreating and persecuting and even killing believers? What's happening in those places? The church is growing. In 1949, there was the Cultural Revolution in China. And they cracked down on the church. They said, you can't meet. It's illegal. You can't do it. And everybody, they just tried to wipe out the truth and stop the truth from going. Well, most people thought they were successful. For years, they didn't know how many Christians were in China. Had no idea. And then when China began to open up a little bit, they found out the church did not stop. The church continued on. Jesus continued to work in that country, even where they said it was illegal, even where they said you can't do this. And today there's 38 plus million believers in China. Isn't that awesome? In the face of all the efforts to stop people from following Jesus' truth, still going forth. Jesus and the kingdom of God is moving forward, and people are being saved and they're being set free. And it's because Jesus, the truth, is unstoppable. His power is unstoppable. His purposes are unstoppable. And he is unstoppable in his pursuit of those who need to be saved. And he is unstoppable in his ability to save them. But he's not just unstoppable in the pursuit of those who are lost in this quest to reveal himself in his grace and forgiveness to those who need it. But he's also unstoppable in the lives of his children. Because you're his child, Jesus is unstoppable in your life. There's nothing and no one that can keep his power from filling your heart and life. There's nothing and no one that can keep his purposes from being accomplished in and through you. There's nothing and no one who can stop his loving pursuit of you. See, Jesus is unstoppable not just in the world at large, but he's unstoppable in your life as well. You belong to the one whose power and love cannot be denied. And because you belong to him, you celebrate him. That's what we're here today for, right? We're here to celebrate Jesus, am I right? We're excited because we belong to him, and that affects the way we live our lives. It affects the way we talk and what we share. And we show people who he is through the way we live our lives and what we do and the way we treat people. So we belong to him, so we celebrate him, and we proclaim the same thing that they were proclaiming on the road into Jerusalem. The same thing that they were saying there. We show people who he is and what he has to offer. And because you proclaim that truth, guess who doesn't like it? The Pharisees. Yeah, the devil. That's right. The devil doesn't like it. But if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack, right? See, y'all laugh because y'all know the song. There's some of these young folks here have no idea what I just said. It's an old VBS song, a very old VBS song. But anyway. But yeah, he doesn't like it. And so he tries to silence us because we're the ones proclaiming who Jesus is, just like they were on the road that day. And he believes, like the Pharisees believe, that he can silence his followers. He can stop the truth and thus stop Jesus. But Jesus says that will not and it cannot happen. And that doesn't keep Satan from trying. So he comes at us and he tries to turn us away from the Lord by placing us in situations or bringing circumstances to bear in our lives that are meant to convince us that the promises of God are not true at worst and are doubtful and unreliable at best. And that's a good strategy, because if we do not believe that Jesus is trustworthy, If we doubt he has the power to do in our lives what he's promised to do, then what are we not going to do? We're not going to shout. We're not going to celebrate. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to live for him. We're not going to share. But if we know that Jesus is unstoppable, you'll not fall for the lies that Jesus isn't there for you. You're not going to fall for the lie that he is not who he says he is. You're not going to fall for the lie that he can't do what he says he will do. Instead, you'll stand firm and stand strong no matter what transpires in your life. You'll know Jesus is there, that the power of God is at work in you, through you, and for you. His love is there. His grace is there. His forgiveness is there. His acceptance is there. And he's busy working for your good in order to bring about his purposes in your life. Because nothing can stop him. And nothing will stop him from fulfilling his promises to you. Because if Jesus is unstoppable, so are his promises. Think about that. If Jesus promised to do something in your life, and he has promised to do a lot in your life, just read this and you'll see them. There are too many to list. But if he's promised he will do that in your life, nothing and no one is going to keep it from happening. It's going to happen. He will keep his promise. No matter what happens, no matter how dark or hopeless your situation may seem, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He'll be faithful to complete the work in you that he began the day you became his. When life is scary, he'll give you that peace that passes understanding and drive the fear away. And through the power of the Spirit, he'll give us the strength to stand and say what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. He says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. And we're struck down, but we are not destroyed." Life may be hard. Life may be difficult, but Jesus is here, and I know I can trust him because he's unstoppable. That's what Paul is saying. And as we face circumstances that threaten to overwhelm us, Jesus is standing there with us. He's by our side, working for us and with us, watching over us, giving us his power, wisdom, and guidance. And here's the thing. He has promised he will not allow us to face anything that is beyond what we can handle, as long as we stand in him. He'll provide a way for us to stand up under it. That's the promise. When he's, a lot of times we read that, it says he won't give us more than we can stand. How many of you have said that? I've said that, and it's true. He won't. And we think, well, he'll provide, and it says he'll provide a way out. We like that part. That we can stand up under it. That's the thing. That we can endure whatever we're going through. It's not a promise he'll relieve what we're going through, but he'll give us the power to stand up under it. And there's nothing that's going to stop him from doing that to us, for us. And then how many of you stumble and fall? Ever stumble and fall? I've got the bruises to prove it. Yeah, we all stumble and fall. And what does he do there? He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't reject us. He picks us up. He dusts us off. He tends to our wounds. He continues to love us and give us grace. And he continues on with us. He's there to allow us to fight the good fight and to run the race. And then when it's all done and the race is over, he welcomes us into his presence. See, all the promises that Jesus has made are yours. No matter what you face, no matter how Satan tries to halt the power of God from flowing in you and through you and working in your life, he can't do it. Doesn't matter what you face, he can't keep God from working in your life. It's not possible. And each and every promise is yours because the one who made the promise is unstoppable. So when you face difficulties, when your faith is challenged, when people try to silence you, you can stand firm, you can stand strong, realizing and remembering that Jesus, who is the truth, Jesus, who is the power of God, is unstoppable. Not just there, but in your life. And if we stand in Him and with Him, guess what we are? Guess what you are? Unstoppable. That's exactly right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that circumstances, situations, opposition, heartache, pain, good times, bad times, and everywhere in between, nothing can stand in your way. Nothing can silence the truth. Nothing can keep you from doing what you said you will do. And Father, we just praise you for that. That you are trustworthy. That you are supreme. And Father, that all that you say you are, all that you say you will do, poured into our lives. Father, that who you are will change us. And what you do will bless us. Father, it's just an amazing thing to think that whatever is going on, you've got us. Whatever is going on, you're going to do in us and through us amazing things. All because nothing can stop. Father, that's a concept that I'm still trying to wrap my head around. But I know it's true. I know it's true. So, Father, we thank you that there is no way that Satan is going to stop the truth from being shared, that your word is going to go forth and it's going to bear fruit, and there's going to be people who are saved. We thank you that your word and your truth goes into our lives and our hearts, and that it changes us. And Father, that every promise that you make is worked out in your lives, in your time, and in your way, for our good. So Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for being there, for always being there, and that we never have to worry that there will ever be a time that you're not there. We pray this in Jesus' name.